Minutes to 9 o'clock, and you may have seen billboards for the Black Duck movements on the highways and also social media campaigns calling on women to wear their black ducks. The Black Duck movements essay was created in response to the increasing gender-based violence incidents in our country. This was further highlighted during the COVID-19 lockdown, and things have gone totally wrong, and you'll agree with me that something needs to be done. Well, on the line is the spokesperson for the Black Duck movement essay, Geraldine James. Geraldine, good morning. Welcome to 702.
Thank you so much, Ray. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, a duck is a symbol of our women. It's also respect and power, isn't it, a duck?
Yes, that's right. And to some, it's also just a fashion statement. But I think for the Black Duck movement, in the time we find ourselves, it's more than just that. It's a tribute to the women who lost their lives over this period and beyond. And it's also, you know, a call for South Africans to say so much and not anymore. We've had enough now.
So, okay, you've had enough. Tell us more about the movement. How can women stop the scourge themselves then?
I think most importantly, women need to be empowered with the early signs and symptoms of abuse. You know, the symptoms such as when your partner starts isolating you, you're not allowed to go to your family, you must change sort of the way you dress, the manner in which they speak to you. These are usually things that, you know, at the early stages of all relationships. And, you know, we've come to a point where, you know, we almost think that it's acceptable. We need to take back that respect which the Duck symbolizes, and it starts with respecting ourselves. And I think it's those little things that we overlook, because obviously when someone isolates you from seeing your friends and seeing your families, eventually you'll have no one to reach out to when the abuse starts, and you'll feel sort of guilty for reaching out. So it starts there. It starts at home. It starts with us.
I'm glad you've actually highlighted that, because many women don't see it. You marry this guy becomes abusive. You want, he must do it, you must do it his way all the time. And very often it's a very slippery slope, isn't it? Because you turn around, like you say, you are isolated and it's too late. But maybe it's not too late. Maybe you can still get help.
No, definitely. And I think it's about keeping your support structures open and available and accessible to you. And that is with your family as well. It's also with family members, not sweeping it, you know, under the carpet. You find that people feel embarrassed. They feel a great sense of guilt and of shame, you know, to say that, you know, I'm going through a divorce or I'm separating. It's just for families. It is so important for this entire change and to change the narrative and the tide in this country to start at home with family members. You find that young girls are abused and raped and nothing gets done about it because of the shame upon the family. We need to break that stigma. We need to break that silence. And this is just but the early stages. I'm not even talking about, you know, the later scenes that plays out where women's bodies are found. I think just on the 8th, which was Saturday, a woman's body was found somewhere in the deer. I think she's between the ages of 25 and 30, the article read. And that is but, I'm sure, after many months of being in an abusive relationship.
Hearing you say that, also Sekgo Fatsopule, when that story broke, there was national disbelief that somebody could do that. Somebody could take a woman, kill her, stab her. She was pregnant, and hang her from a tree. This disgusted many South Africans, but others actually turned around and said, well, we're not that surprised, because this is the culture that we have. There has to be change.
I'm so pleased to hear you use that word, culture, because If it wasn't culture, we would have seen a change. It's almost as if though we've become numb to these incidents. It's the norm in South Africa, where only 4% of perpetrators are actually prosecuted, and that is what we need to call on. You know, the movement cannot just be a hashtag like all the others, and every time something crazy, and just to also go back, Ray, that the morning when we heard that on the news that a woman's body was found hanging and she was pregnant, to be quite honest with you, that is the morning when my daughter said, Mommy, what are we going to do about it? That's when she said, we cannot be quiet. It cannot just be another Me Too hashtag that comes every time someone dies and we read about this, we go crazy on social media, and then it ends there. We celebrate the women of 1956. What about the new struggle that this country is faced with? What about the many people that are capable of taking, you know, this struggle forward and actually seeing change? That is what this movement is all about.
Yeah. Let's take a quick call. Diane in Kensington talking about an abusive relationship. Diane, good morning.
Morning, Ray. My problem was when I was in an abusive marriage. My family actually didn't believe me when I spoke to them about what was going on. And that's what kept me in the abusive relationship even longer.
Your family didn't believe you. So did you cry out to them to say, I need help? What did you do?
Yes. I told them the stories that were happening. And it was only years later they said to me, why didn't you tell us? And I said, I did. And I listed the times that I told them what was going on. And they turned around and said to me, well, we didn't believe you. We thought you were exaggerating.
Diane,
and that's the biggest problem, is that when you do reach out, you don't necessarily reach out to a professional who knows. You reach out to your closest friends and family. You need to reach out to a professional.
Diane, how did you, if you don't mind me asking, how did you get out of this abusive relationship?
I landed up, my children were very ill, to cut a long story short, and I landed up with a psychologist.
Right.
Who then pushed me to become independent and taught me how to be a single parent even though I was married, which grew me enormously.
Yeah.
And he then decided he wanted to leave to try and threaten me to become that doormat again. So he divorced. He wanted the divorce.
Okay.
And I gave it to him unwillingly. I said, well, if you want to go, you can go.
Thank goodness. No, thank goodness. Yes. Diane, thank you for your story.
But it was the professionals that helped me, not my family.
Sure.
My family then came on board after the divorce. But the bitterest pill I had to swallow was during that process of getting divorced, my family said, we support you, but we actually believe him.
Oh, Diane in Kensington, thank you so much for your story. That is, I think, Darylene, that's the big problem, is that if you don't have the support around you, maybe sometimes, like Diane, you'll just stay in that marriage because you've got nowhere else to go, you think.
And I think, you know what, this is why, as part of our objectives and as part of the Black Duke Movement plan, we've actually rolled out our first survey in the community of El Dorado Park, where we actually, one of the questions we posed was, where do you feel comfortable reaching out, you know, for help? Is it the church? Is it the police station? Is it your family? Is it someone at work? And we found that most people actually said it's their family. So we said that based on that sample piece that we got from the community of El Dorado Park, it is then important for us to have advocacy and empowerment workshops with families, empowering them on the what to do, the where to go to, sexual harassment acts, you know, to empower them with that sort of information, because it's no use we pouring resources into a place where people don't turn to. And this is why, again, we're bringing it back to the household, the home, the family.
Let's take a quick call from Mapula. Mapula, hi, good morning.
Good morning. Ray, I wanted just to weigh in on the issue of women and sometimes why women, you know, stay in such marriages. Usually in many African traditions, you have what they call, where then they talk to you as a bride before you get to then be introduced to the family. And then you've got this aunt that would tell you such things as, you know, as a woman, the grave of a married woman is in the in-laws, right? Mm. So it's almost like they inculcate this whole thing of expecting you as a woman to put up with every kind of abuse in a marriage, to the point that they would even say to you, you know what, you no longer have a place to stay here, so you have to stick with whatever that is happening, that is happening in there. So in that way, because it's a cultural thing, it's systemic, it sits there as ingrained. Now, when issues of abuse is happening in your marriage, they would then tell you that as a woman, you need to bear, you know, all these hardships. And it's what then they told you at the time when you were getting married. So you find that some women, to just decide to leave their family, it's almost that they've brought a shame in the family, you know, circle. Mm. And sometimes that these women then stay in that. You find that even if it's an educated woman, but because they were told you need to stay there, you know, you need to fight for your family.
So you're there for you. Mapula, I hear you. You have to stay in it. I've run totally out of time, Darylene. If somebody wants to get, like Mapula wants to get involved, how can they get in contact with you?
They can give us a call on 084-714-1796. They can drop us an SMS. They can also log on to one of our social media pages on Facebook, Black Duk Movement SA, on Twitter, on Instagram, and they can reach out to us by sending us an inbox.
Nice one. Geraldine James, a spokesperson for the Black Duk Movement of South Africa. Best of luck for the future.